Welcome to the Caregiver's Best Friend Podcast, where you'll find helpful advice, tips, and information to help you care for your special senior or parent. This podcast is brought to you by Presbyterian Villages of Michigan. Your host, Lynn Alexander.
Hello, and welcome to the Caregiver's Best Friend Podcast once again. I'm Lynn Alexander, and I'll be the special guest today, sharing some information about how to best prepare for long-term care. If you think about it, throughout our lives, we're trained to plan ahead. Even when we're young, little children sometimes think about who they'll marry or where they'll go to college. High school students will be spending quite a bit of time visiting colleges and trade skills programs and thinking about where they want to head. As adults, we plan ahead for buying a home and what career choices we have, further education. We really think a lot throughout our lives about where we're headed. One thing that's often left out is planning for long-term care. It's something most people don't think about, and they kind of become like an ostrich with the head in the sand, not planning for it. One of the things I found when I was state aging director is how people have no clue many times about what the costs are for long-term care or what the choices are. When we did focus groups, we found that people were very willing to help take care of their parents or grandparents, but didn't want to make their children do that for them. And they often thought their insurance would pay for long-term care. They would be shocked when they found out that does not happen. So what can we do to plan ahead and be prepared so that we're faced with many options that we wouldn't know about otherwise? And as we know, with anything in life, if we're not blindsided, it really helps us make better choices. So let's talk a little bit about who pays for long-term care, what planning can we do, and what do we need to do if we need to get a durable power of attorney or a guardianship for a loved one. Once again, the court system can be very intimidating at times for people. We don't have a clue as to how to proceed or what to do. And I found that really is across the board, no matter how many choices we've had in life, how successful we are, how organized we are in so many other ways, people often aren't sure what to do or where to turn for answers. So let's talk first of all about Medicare and Medicaid. What are they? Both Medicare and Medicaid are government programs that provide assistance to those who are suffering health issues or those who need help and those who need help financially. Medicare is the health insurance for senior citizens who are 65 or older and under 65 years of age for certain disabilities. Medicaid provides medical assistance to low-income individuals. Some citizens are dually eligible, and that often happens for our PACE programs through Presbyterian Villages of Michigan. When you're dually eligible, that means you can access both programs, Medicare and Medicaid. So in other words, that means that you both have health issues as well as financial issues. At this time, only Medicaid pays for long-term care unless you're in an alternative program, much like PACE. So we'll talk about that on another podcast. So in order to have Medicaid pay for your long-term care, you must do what's called spend down your assets. So you have to meet the requirements for Medicaid in order to receive assistance with paying for long-term care. So going into a nursing home, it's often $9,000 a month. People are not prepared for that. You are able to have some savings and income, but you need to talk to the Area Agency on Aging or others who have the ability to guide you as to how you would do that. So many people ask the question, actually, what is long-term care planning and why would I need it? With our increase in longevity comes the chance that at some point in our life, we'll need assistance with what's called activities of daily living, or ADLs. In other words, grooming, chore services, medication assistance, many different ways that allow us to maintain our daily life. Many times we're unprepared to pay for this assistance. We don't realize that Medicare doesn't pay for it, and so planning ahead is really key. The good news is that we have a lot of new programs now that can allow you to stay in your own home and receive these services so that you don't need to go into a nursing home. Another way to look at planning is to purchase long-term care insurance. That can help defray many of the costs for long-term care. And so it's really important to check with an insurance specialist as to what the best choices would be for you and if you're at an age that makes that a viable choice for you. One of the best legacies I created as director of the Michigan Office of Services to the Aging, along with our staff, was to lead the office in creating a long-term care insurance benefit for state of Michigan employees. And people did have to pay into that, but it really was very beneficial for employees. And one of the things we can do is talk to our employers as well as what are some things that they could do to assist us, even if it's simply bringing in experts to interview us and help us with making decisions. Now, if we're caring for a loved one, sometimes we get into a situation where we need to start making those decisions for them, or at least helping them in a great manner. And so that's where we can get a durable power of attorney. A durable power of attorney allows persons to name someone to manage their financial affairs if they're unable to do so. A medical power of attorney allows your representative to make sure your wishes are followed with regard to medical care and procedures. Many folks do not realize the importance of these documents until they find themselves in a hospital or a nursing home situation. At that point, it becomes much more difficult to complete the paperwork because it requires a notary public and two witnesses, as well as legal assistance. And these witnesses cannot be a relative or an employee of the facility. So it's really important that we don't wait until we're in a crisis situation to complete this paperwork. And a lot of times, as we found with talking about the cost of long-term care, people think they don't need to do this until they're in their 80s or 90s. That's not true. Actually, no matter what age we are, we should take a look at creating a durable power of attorney, having your spouse or another loved one become that power of attorney. Now, sometimes that's enough all the way through to the end of life. But there comes a time when someone may need a guardian. So a person needs a guardian when he or she becomes physically, mentally, or financially unable to function independently. The issue of a need for a guardian can come up in a variety of different ways. Sometimes the family might be worried that their mother or father is leaving the stove on all the time, or they can't properly write out checks. I've had situations for folks who've told me they go to visit their parents and they find stacks of unpaid bills, or it becomes a risk in that they're threatened to have their utilities shut off. There have been situations as well in families that I've heard reports of where one person was selected as the durable power of attorney for finances, and they weren't handling it correctly and almost had an issue with their parents being shut off of services. So another thing we need to think about is to be very careful about who becomes the durable power of attorney or the guardian and make sure there's somebody that's capable of providing those services and somebody that doesn't need to have their shoulder watched over all the time. In some cases, someone can select two people to do that, so it kind of offsets that risk. Also, when we get into a family providing care together, maybe you'll have five siblings, and getting them to agree on what to do or how to proceed can be very tricky. And so sometimes people will be in different states and it's very difficult to get people together. So it's very important that they have conversations about who's going to do what, who's in charge of what. And so let's take a look at what the actual definition and list of alternatives is for guardianship. And this information is taken from the National Guardianship Association. Their website provides valuable information, and you can also check it out at www.guardianship.org. So back to the definition, guardianship, also referred to as conservatorship, and you might have heard that term, is a legal process utilized when the person can no longer make or communicate safe or sound decisions, as we talked about. And this can relate to their property or if they're susceptible to fraud or undue influence. Another thing that happens is folks have found that their parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles are getting so many calls from scam artists and answering those calls and giving money to folks. And so that's another situation where you need to take a look at what the alternatives. Clearly defining why you think a guardian is needed will help determine how to proceed. And you'll have to make a case in the court system to become a guardian for someone. There are people on staff at courthouses around the country who their task is to guide you and give you advice. So I recommend that you call the court system in your county and find out who would be the best person to speak with about guardianship. Number one, is it really necessary? And number two, how you would proceed. There can be alternatives to guardianship, such as we talked about powers of attorney, trusts, and healthcare surrogacy, other ways where you can approach it, and so people can give you good advice. I mentioned before area agencies on aging. There's one in every area of the country, and you can even look in the white pages under area agency on aging to get good advice on these types of issues. So what would be your responsibilities as a guardian? When the court appoints a guardian of the person, the guardian may have the following responsibilities. And many people don't realize what they're getting into. It's important that they have education so that if they're not capable or don't wish to take on those responsibilities, they can give that to someone else. So here are some of the responsibilities. You determine and monitor the residence of the person, consent to and monitor medical treatment, consent and monitor non-medical devices, as well as education and counseling, consent to the release of confidential information, make end-of-life decisions, and that's a tough one for many people, act as a representative payee to pay the bills and manage the finances, to really be committed to maximizing independence for a loved one or a guardian-appointed person in the least restrictive manner, and to report to the court about the guardianship status at least annually. Guardianship of the estate or property involves marshaling and protecting assets, obtaining appraisals of the property, protecting the property and assets from loss, receiving income from the state, making appropriate disbursements, obtaining court approval prior to selling any asset, and reporting to the court on estate status. So for many people, this can be a daunting task. We're also busy these days with a sandwich generation of grandparents, parents, children. Sometimes we become a guardian for not our parents, but another family member, or even in some cases, a very good friend of many years. And so before you undertake a task like that, it's really important that you think through your entire life, your activities, your demands, your responsibilities, and how much time you would have to devote to that. Also, do you feel capable of handling those financial assets? And for those who are deciding on who should be their durable power of attorney, make sure you select one or several who have those capabilities. Don't give those capabilities or powers to someone who can't manage their own checkbook. So think through all these things as a family member or the person who needs assistance before we do that. As I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, it's so important to plan ahead. What I tell folks is go to a long-term care community and check it out long before you need one. Go with a friend, make it a fun expedition, and do that with your parents or friends so that you're not making these decisions in a crisis. I think we've known for our entire lives that Making important decisions should not be done in a crisis, no matter what those decisions are. So if we plan ahead, we can make good decisions. As David Miller talked about in a previous podcast, when he talked about the Village of East Harbor, it's important that we just don't go somewhere to live. We go somewhere to live life. And when we get into planning, whether it's for finances or medical help or whatever, the smarter we are about our choices, the better quality of life we'll have, so that we can age well in a positive way and enjoy all the years of our life. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy your day.
You have been listening to the Caregiver's Best Friend podcast, where you'll find helpful advice, tips, and information to help you care for your special senior or parent. This podcast was brought to you by Presbyterian Villages of Michigan. Thank you for listening.